In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, the boys talk CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. Wearable tech, tablets, and UV sensing bracelets that also monitor your bowel movements and hair lengths. All this and a USDA prime beef tramp stamp. COL 245 starts now.
It's January 19th, 2014. I'm Jeff.
Me, not that kind of orc.
I'm Damon.
Everybody dance now!
I'm Eric.
It must be my sexuality, because I am so very sexual.
That makes me Gary.
No she didn't. Ooh, girl!
And I guess I'm Robert?
Please, darling, your auntie Mame's hung.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Adventure in the Lake, episode number 245, and I'm tired.
Aww.
My eyes just don't want to stay open or something, and I don't know if it's allergies, although I've been taking a Claritin every day or something, but like my right eye right now feels puffy and kind of twitches, or at least my eyelid kind of twitches on occasion, so it's really weird. And it's like most of the time I just want to keep my eyes closed, and I almost think that probably tomorrow, since I'm off because of, I think it's Martin Luther King Day or something like that,
it is
quite possible what I could do is throw on one of my Game of Thrones books on audiobook and then just kind of lie down and listen. And close my eyes and just listen all day and not have to, well, get up to make lunch and dinner, of course. But that way I can not use my eyes for the entire day or something like that. Nice. Because I don't know what it is, but for some reason, and it's like the rest of me is okay, but for some reason my eyes just don't want to stay open. So right now my eyes are closed.
Well, don't fall asleep, because no. That would suck.
I don't think I'll fall asleep or anything, but anyways. And I got taco soup being made, so I think I got another 5 hours on that. But woke up at like 5 something this morning. I have no idea why. And at around 9, or actually 8:30, browned the hamburger, chopped the onion, browned the onion, put it into the crock pot, threw in the other cans of stuff, the chili beans, kidney beans, corn, diced tomatoes, some tomato sauce, a taco seasoning, mixed it up, added a little bit more water to make it more soupy. Covered it up, set to low. 8 hours cooking time. Smells delicious.
Yummers.
So, anyways. I suppose that's really kind of Oh, and I get another one of my WoW characters to 90, so I've got 14 93. So getting ever closer. I got the math is hard. So 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. So I got 8 more to go. And I got some that are pretty close, so.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how many classes are there?
There are 11 classes, but there's 2 factions. So I've got, so I'm basically, my goal is 22. One of each class in each faction.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So
nerd.
So I got 14. Just need to wrap up. And all my tunes are level 70 or above.
Yay.
So I don't have much farther to go. And the goal is to get it before Warlords of Draenor will come out, which means I have plenty of time.
Are you going to save one of those for your free level 90?
No. That I'm just going to do one over on Airy Peak. So a third server.
Okay.
Anyway. Awesome.
So that's my week, all boring. How about you guys?
Gary?
I forgot why I titled my segment what I did. But I'll say this. I remember one. There was like two things, and they both related to the same theme, but I only remember one. I dropped my car insurance and switched.
To Geico?
No, I did not switch to Geico. I didn't like their prices. December, beginning of December, I got a notification from my previous insurance carrier, who I don't mind naming because they're assholes, Progressive. They let me know that they were changing me, and I've been, ever since I could drive, I've always had monthly insurance payments. Instead of paying like once every 6 months or once every year, it's just like a monthly bill, and I just pay that.
Right.
Well, Progressive informed me back in December that they had decided to change my policy and I was no longer allowed to pay monthly. And that I would have to pay every 6 months. And there was nothing that prompted it. I didn't have a claim. Nothing happened on my account. They just did this thing. So I ended up calling in and I was really kind of upset about it. And long story short, I figured out what happened by talking to my aunt, who talks to another insurance company. And she said, I think it's called the actuation department. Mm-hmm. And yes. Apparently it's people, it's number crunchers who like do equations or figures, or I don't know. I don't know anybody who works in that department, and I'd love to figure out how they do this thing. But anyways, they presume, her presumption is that I was high risk. So that's why they changed it, even though I haven't had a claim in a year and a half. Well, so
that shit.
Yeah, exactly. So I went shopping and I ended up switching companies. So I dropped them. And the funny thing is I actually posted on Facebook when my new policy was coming up due. They needed payment and they were sending me alert, you know, about how I have to pay all 6 months at one time. So on the day that it was supposed to happen, knowing that they couldn't take all 6 months without my permission, I wasn't concerned about it going through. I contacted it. I didn't want to talk to anybody because last time I was on the phone, I got super pissed. So I did the, what we call click to chat. So you chat with customer service online, and this woman, I think her name was Janet or Jane, she answered. And so I told her that I need to cancel my policy, and she said, I can take care of that for you. And she didn't question it. She just went ahead and did it. And then at the end she said something like, how is it? I hope that you'll reconsider us again or something like that. To which I said, so I typed out this whole thing and I was like, well, if you hadn't done this, this, and this, then I wouldn't have gone shopping in the first place. And I wouldn't have been disgruntled. And I wouldn't have bitched everybody about your damn company. So you should have thought of that beforehand. So needless to say, I dropped them. I was none too happy with them. And outside of that, that's about it. It's been quiet.
Cool.
Robert?
Me, yeah. I had a date.
Yay!
Wow.
I knew somebody was gonna say something. Yeah, somebody I met off the line. There's a lot in common. Scarily so. We're both 38. We both share the same initials except for our middle initial. He's 6 days older than me.
Wow.
We're both the middle child of three. His parents are still married. Mine are not. He's got an older brother, younger sister. I have an older sister, younger brother. So that was my, that's the one big thing. Oh, and I survived Christmas and, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You haven't been for.
Yeah, I haven't been with you guys in quite a while. So, yeah, what was it? Like a month? Half?
Something like that.
Yeah, so, yeah. We're going to see how this goes. So, outside of that, yeah, they've been pretty boring dealing with work and all the bullshit that's been going on there. And
I got an email from your company.
Yeah, everybody's been getting emails. And honestly, if you want to know more, contact Target directly.
Ooh, spoken like somebody who doesn't want to deal with it.
Got that right.
So I got the email and I'm like, well, everything was kind of already taken care of because my bank just sent me a new card.
Right.
They didn't ask me anything. They just said, we're sending you a new card. Your current card will work just fine until you get it and activate the new card. But we're just going to send you a new card. I didn't have to do anything. I just all of a sudden got an email. And
I got a new card, and it was so funny. About a week or so ago, I was online, and I'm like going, why is my internet so slow? And then all of a sudden, I went to open up an internet, or I open up a page, and it takes me to my internet company's payment page. It's like, why? And I looked at my email, and they're like, literally within 5 minutes of that, they sent me an email. I was like, oh, failure. And I was like, there was a failure to pay. And I was like, no. Not realizing I had just gotten a new card and activated it, and everything switched over. So I literally had to contact, in the last week, I think I've contacted like 20 different companies to change over my info on my card. I was like, oh, this is the biggest pain in the ass.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. And I was talking to the guy I went on a date with the other night, and he had the same problem. It literally was like he had got a new card. He's like, I've had the same card with the same number on it for almost 20 years. He goes, I do not know my number. I cannot. He goes, I have to switch everything over. I'm like, yep. So, yeah. But no, if you want more information about the data breach, please contact target.com. I could care less. Yeah, I'm over it. You can only deal with screaming people so much. So, anyway, who's next?
Damon,
what did you do? Damon?
Oh, there we go. Okay. It's called muting my microphone. Ha, 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 ha. Anywho, shut up. Gary, I hear you over there. Anyway, so yesterday was supposed to be a really, really fun day. I was hanging out with my friend Ben, and we were gonna go to there's a River Bears bear group here, and we're gonna go to their potluck, and it was gonna be fun, and all this stuff, and blah, 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 blah. Well. The potluck was in Huber Heights, Ohio, which is about an hour away. Weird that it's the Cincinnati River Bears and they're having stuff near Dayton. But anyway, so we're driving and it's me and my friend Ben and Ben's Sir Russ and Russ's quote unquote nephew, Joey. It's complicated, like it's complicated, but it's fine. I get it, whatever. Anyway, so and we're driving and we get there, we're driving and we get like maybe 20 minutes away. It's snowing. It started snowing when we left Cincinnati, but as it's snowing, it's starting to get worse. And as it's getting worse, I'm noticing we're veering like back and forth and back and forth. I'm in the back seat And I'm like, okay, so what's going on? And he goes, oh, well, we're kind of sliding. I'm like, oh, that's not good. And wow. So we stop briefly at a McDonald's, and that's when it starts getting worse. We start driving a little bit further, and it's getting worse. So we're like, okay, we have two options. We can either try to make it to the potluck and then wait out the storm there, or we can turn around and go back. We turned around and went back.
Yeah. Smart idea.
So potluck denied. It was for the best, because on the way back, things got a little, I mean, it was slow going. It was slow, slow going. Yeah. By the time we got to Cincinnati proper, within the city limits, the road started getting clearer. You know, it was still wet, but it wasn't icy, and we weren't sliding right as much. So, yeah. So potluck denied. Aww. We ended up going to Russ's new place, and we played a really fun game called Shit on Your Neighbor. I don't know if anyone has ever heard of it. I had never heard of it until last night, and I won. So, boom.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had a fun time. It was a nice distraction. So, yay.
Cool. Well, last week I had a little bit of action, not the type, but last week was our local Susquehanna Valley Bears Night, which is held at a teeny tiny bar in the middle of nowhere called Otlin's Ranch. It's about an hour's drive away from our house.
Yeah.
So we drove out. The weather was actually really nice last Saturday. It was like 50 degrees for the high and was 30 degrees when we left, which is great for, you know, January.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the bar just wasn't very happening. So we had our obligatory drink, and then around 10 o'clock, things weren't picking up yet. So we decided to go home early, which was kind of a good thing. We had our friend Kelby with us. Kelby, we dropped off in York. He always jokes because he lives near a bad neighborhood. He's like, don't stop whatever you do in Carjack Alley, which is what he calls about three blocks away where they have carjackings two or three times a week.
Wow.
So we drop him off, and no sooner than we do, we're passing through Carjack Alley, and we hear our tire going out. We blew our tire. It's 10 o'clock at night. There's no way in hell I'm going to wait for AAA to come out, you know, in this neighborhood where I know people are getting they had a murder the same day. So,
oh, no.
Here's the two white gay boys in the busy neighborhood having people going around us as we're quickly finding all of our tools to change our tire.
Oh, my.
And we did good. We got it all changed and we got it all set. But then the tire that we have for a spare on the new car is a donut.
Oh.
So we're still a good 25, 30 miles away from home. So we ended up having to drive 15 to 25 miles per hour on all the back roads.
Wow.
Needless to say, we left the bar at 10 o'clock. We got home sometime after 1 o'clock.
Ouch.
Which is part of why I wasn't on the it was really why I wasn't on the podcast last week. So sorry, guys. I was dead asleep when I got the call. And then last night we had dinner party with friends. We're calling it Hunger Against Humanity, where we got our friends into hanging Cards Against Humanity. So we're playing that and playing other board games. And Chester cooked. It was fabulous. And that's really all I've been up to.
Yay.
Awesome. So, who fucked up this week?
Wait, we haven't got there yet.
Oh.
Actually, we did.
Yeah.
Oh,
Eric he was the last one on this one. So.
Oh.
Gary, what did you do?
Okay. In my defense, I did nothing wrong. I'm just going to say that.
Okay.
Now, a certain listener of the podcast, at least I presume they're a listener because they've liked us in the past, had a birthday this past week, and I unfortunately did not send them a birthday, message on their birthday. I was a day late. And I had every intention of it, but I was going to be cute about it. So I finally found the picture that I wanted to send. It was notably adult and inappropriate, which is the type of relationship, friendship we have. So it's not a big deal. And I sent it to him on Facebook as a message. Did not go on his wall or anything because I, you know, wanted to have people like, what the hell is that all about? Pervert. Yeah.
Okay.
Gary.
Gary.
You. You said Gary. Something about pervert. That got my attention. Okay, so we're going to probably take a little longer to find out what's going on with Gary because for some reason he got disconnected.
Oh, no.
So while... While we're waiting for him, a little bit of just a little bit in our Bear Underground group. Bear Red 79 has joined us. Also over on Facebook, we got likes from Kerry Talmadge and Ian Carradine. Sorry. That's what we got there. So, let's see if we can get Gary back here. Gary.
He's typing. I don't know.
What's happened? What does he mean by with happen?
Oh, hush. Anyway,
I believe he means what happened.
Well, I know that.
Nice.
What was his original title for today's episode? Danny Autocorrect?
Nice.
Okay. Well, here, let's pause to... you're not connected to the call, sweetie.
First it was me, that's now it's way. Him.
Yeah. So, technical problems.
Particular difficulties. Please.
Well, that's the reason why I'm looking at the doc through my phone.
Me too.
Because Google Drive is being a nasty-ass little bitch.
I have to say, I got a Galaxy Note 3 this week for my new phone, and I am so in love with it.
How big is it?
It's big. It's big. It's thick.
Okay,
it's
crazy. And you're using it for a phone?
Yeah.
I hate you. Here's the thing is, all right, we're going to be getting into our topic soon here, and hopefully we'll get Gary back online. But I want to tell you people... For Christ's sakes, if it's over 5 inches, it is not a phone. It shouldn't be used as a phone and it doesn't need to be as a phone. It's way too big. It is not a phone. It's a tablet. And all it should really be used for is a tablet. anything bigger than 5 inches is way too big for a phone. I'm sorry. You look ridiculous having this 7-inch tablet held up to your face.
Pardon me, sir, but it is 2014. I haven't held a phone against my face in 5 years.
Well, you probably haven't.
There's this thing called Bluetooth, and I live on it.
Yeah. But still, no.
For me, I call my family less. I use less than an hour of minutes on my phone every month.
Oh, so do I. But
so, you know, for me, having a tablet. Sized phone makes a lot more sense.
My phone should easily fit in my hand and my pocket. It shouldn't be noticeable. It shouldn't be something where I'm like, trying to pull it out of my pocket. It is not something that I put in the back pocket. In fact, you should never put your phone in your back pocket. That's the stupidest idea in all the world. And if you think that you should put it back in there, you're an idiot.
You should really put a phone in a pocket, period. You should have it in a briefcase.
Anyways.
I respect back. Your right to be wrong.
Moving on. Actually, moving back. So we're back to Gary. What was going on again?
Can you hear me this time?
Yes. Yeah, we can hear you.
I don't know what happened.
I know. You said you were connected, but Skype said you weren't on my end.
Yeah, it was kind of strange.
Mm-hmm.
So yet again, I talked to myself. Big surprise.
Well, we heard the part about you sending the picture, and then...
That's pretty much it.
That was pretty much it, yeah.
So I sent the picture, and the person that I sent it to was actually out to dinner in a public restaurant.
Oh,
and
no.
When they opened the picture, the waitress was standing directly behind him.
Oh,
and
no.
And saw the picture that I sent. I'm not going to send you guys the picture, but
damn it,
because I don't have it anymore. I think I got rid of it anyways. But needless to say, I'll tell you what it was, because I was on the hunt for this and it took me a while to find it, which seems weird. I was looking for a attractive gentleman who had decided to put a birthday candle in a very specific place.
Oh,
and it was lit.
Oh, I've seen
and
that.
And so what I said was, sorry, I missed your birthday. Happy belated. I hope you got to blow one of these.
Ha!
And nice. Anyways, he immediately replied back and was like, oh, my God, I just opened this on my phone. I'm in a restaurant and the waitress saw what you sent.
Shit.
Wow.
Nice.
To which I was like, well, you should know better. And then I got concerned and I said, are you out with family or friends? And he said, I'm out with friends. And I said, oh, okay. I'm not too worried.
We should be okay.
So my rule of thumb is when I send you a message, you just might want to think for a second, you know, why would Gary be contacting me, you know, and think about it for a moment, not just immediately open it up, you know, and then be like, ah.
So. Well, one would assume.
And for me, at least, you know, I get the notification on the front of my phone and it usually doesn't include any pictures, just any text that might be included. And usually when I open anything on my phone, I usually try to do it privately and make sure no one can really see it. So. I'm just courteous that way because I never know what's going to show up in there, especially when I'm at work and I'm bored because we're not doing anything. And I pull up things, you know, like Bear Underground and Beer 411 and some of the things that kind of show up on there.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I try not to pull up like Tumblr when I'm at work.
Good call.
So needless to say,
I don't do that much.
Technically, I did do that. However, it's not my fault.
Nice.
Like, well, you're the idiot who opened it. Not my fault.
All right, okay. Moving on. A slight adjustment to one of our segments here. It's Eric's Book Nook. Yeah, not Comic Book Nook, but Book Nook. Eric, what do you got for us?
Well, this week I'm reading Mira Grant's Newsflesh trilogy. Rereading it, actually. I read it first time about a year and a half ago. Excellent. Bit of pulpy sort of sci-fi horror stuff. It's set 20 years after a zombie apocalypse. And it follows some bloggers. And I think I've talked about it before. It's a really good, solid book series, though. Lots of fun to read. And I'm also reading a old comic book series that got sent to me and it was just I read it. It is the 1980s Miracle Man comic line, which was written by the guy who wrote The Watchmen, Alan Moore, I think it is. Yes.
Alan Moore.
And if you love the 80s style of a sort of super gritty comic book stories, very much like The Watchmen, this would be right up your alley. I've only read the first issue, but it's great. It takes a Superman sort of super cheesy sort of character and wakes him up in the 80s where he's had his mind wiped and he hasn't known who he is for 20 years. So,
yeah.
It's your usual gratuitous violence, gratuitous nudity, gratuitous bitter, angry, you know, stuff, but you'll either love it or you'll hate it.
Right.
In other words, it's a comic book of gratuity.
Yes, no in-betweens on this. You'll either love it or hate it.
No. Yeah, it's sort of, you know, Frank Quietly, what's his name? The guy who did The Dark Knight Returns.
The that comic. Was Frank Miller?
Frank Miller. Yeah. I haven't read it's Miracle Man's on my to read list because I love Alan Moore. I read practically everything Alan Moore has ever done.
Yeah, so. And this was written by Alan Moore, and Neil Gaiman had a good run on it too.
So oh yeah,
they had some good talent.
Oh yeah, it's definitely worth checking out, especially if you love Gaiman and Moore. I haven't read too much of it. I read bits and pieces. It's sort of like I love. Well, anyway, moving on. I could wax poetic about Neil Gaiman, so let's not.
Good.
Something for a future book nook or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. All right. Moving on into our topic for the week. We're actually talking this week about something that happens every January, but not necessarily in the bear world. Although I'm sure there's plenty of bears at the Consumer Electronics Show.
We do love our tech.
Yes. Bears and tech kind of go together very well. So
a lot of us work in the tech industry.
Yes.
True.
Which probably means we should start planning a bear run in Vegas during CES.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
or a bear run, which essentially involves CES. So it's like the Consumer Bear Show, the CES.
Nice.
Yeah.
And
if you're going to go there. I mean,
and the big event is before and after, or at the beginning and the end of the day, we have like get togethers or something.
Anyway.
Oh God, I can put. Anyway.
So what is CES?
Well, the Consumer Electronics Show.
Ah.
It's a once-a-year event where hardware manufacturers, software manufacturers get together, they look at each other's junk and go, "Woo, that's nice and big. Let's do something about that." I knew that would get a laugh out of somebody.
Nice.
It's a really great event. It doesn't hold as much power as it used to because all the gaming companies used to do events around CES too, but now they do their own event in June, usually around the same time as San Diego Comic-Con. Nintendo has its own event. Everybody kind of has their own events now. I know Samsung has their own event in the fall. Apple has their own events, two or three times a year. So it's not as big as it used to be, but it used to be like the place to have. I remember like PC World and PC Mag doing these huge January issues, like what you would see in the September issue, like a Vogue, you know, doing these huge issues in January where they would just show everything that was coming out for the next year. And now it's smaller, but it's still got a lot of punch. There's still products that are coming out, you know, that a lot of people still show off, you know, new phones, new tablets, new crossover products, that kind of stuff. It's still good, but, you know, you're not getting quite as much stuff coming out of it as it used to.
Also, since CBS now owns CNET, they no longer have the show awards. So they passed it on to Engadget, which is owned by AOL. But fortunately, because it was because, like, I think last year, the thing that was supposed to get Best in Show or something like that from CNET was, what was it? It was something that recorded something and CBS didn't like it. And so they said, this, you can't award this because of such and such. And so there was a whole hullabaloo about that. So this year, they gave it to somebody who wouldn't have that problem instead. And Cena had been doing the awards for years before that.
Well, but then they got bought, so
yeah,
that changed that. I remember that happening, and everybody just kind of threw up their hands and started ringing their.
They were quite upset. People were quite upset about that.
Well, CNET's gone downhill. I mean, just look at download.com. I mean, please.
Well, and like, well, Tom Merritt left. Left them, and then they changed everything. They canceled Buzz Out Loud, and all their podcasts basically went away. And now I don't even think Molly Wood, who is also a really big, you know, name in their podcasting and such, is no longer with them. And yeah,
I know Leo doesn't do stuff with them anymore.
Well, Leo never was with CNET.
Or no, he was with ZDNet. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And PC and the magazines. He never really was part of CNET Group. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, so we talked about CNET, what CNET is. So, like, has everybody read the articles? They still do
reporting.
Yeah.
They still just, CNET still does some great reporting on tech. So that's a good one. But so what did you guys, of what we could see from news articles and anything else, other sources we had, what was some of the big things that you thought that was going on at CES that you're kind of excited about?
Anyone? Well,
to say excited means that you're happy about this thing. Correct. Not excited, angry.
Okay.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Okay. What's highlights, good or bad, that of CAS that you thought? Okay. How about that? Is that better wordy?
That's fine. Anybody want to go first?
Okay. Well, I think for me, like the tablet market kind of opening up and seeing more mid-range tablets, where you're not necessarily getting the high-end stuff like. Oh God, what's that chipset that Samsung uses? Exynos. You know, seeing more mid-range stuff where you're getting like a tablet, a 10-inch tablet for like $150, $170 versus, you know, $350, $400, which don't get me wrong, I love my Samsung. I really want a Galaxy Note Pro or Galaxy Tab Pro, the 12.2, you know, I want a foot of screen, exactly. But you know, I'm kind of excited to see more mid-range tablets. I'm excited to see more laptop options. Outside of that, I'm kind of like, eh. You know, because I really want a tablet. I'm not sure if I'm going to get this one this year or maybe next year, but I definitely want one. And I'm really excited to see those. As far as what's pissed me off or may have been, you know... for me, it's Windows. Why?
What's wrong with Windows?
I'm seeing more Windows stuff pop up, and I'm going, I understand that they're trying to find a piece of the market, and I understand that, but with the failure of Surface RT and the lackluster sales of Pro, and which is actually geared more towards business anyway, and the kind of like everybody going, what the fuck with the Nokia buy? I'm not understanding why Microsoft is pushing Windows so far as into devices. But I've never understood that company anyway, so they were never a device maker. You know, stick with what you know, stick with what's good. You know, what brings you multiple billions of dollars a year. So, you know,
well, that well was, but like, that's just when it comes to mobile phone tablets, it's right now it's pretty much the Apple and the Android. Uh-huh. So iOS and Android kind of came out first, and became really, really popular pretty much right off the bat.
Yeah.
Then Windows Phone 7 came out.
Well, I don't know anybody who uses Windows Phone and
because they already had an Android or an iPhone. It's more because people just had already gotten a phone. There was no real reason for them to really move over into Windows Phone.
Well, that's
the Windows Phone operating system. The Windows Phone operating system actually is pretty cool. And also, apps just haven't gone there because all the developers were already developing for iOS and Android.
Right.
It was more they were late to the game, which means that they didn't get the buildup that they wanted to get popular. It's not because that the operating system on a Windows phone is bad. It's actually pretty good. I played with it and it's great, but I already have an iPhone and right. I'm kind of stuck in that environment. That's why I'm not getting a Windows phone. Not because it's not good. It's because I already got something and I really like that too. And the same thing's really going on with the tablets too, because the iPad and all these Android tablets were already out and people are used to that.
Right.
But the tablet, the tile interface that is in Windows 8 on a tablet would be awesome. And actually, I would think that they really should use the Windows Phone operating system for the tablets. You know, just like Apple iOS is on tablets and phones. They should probably do that for the tablets instead of trying to homogenize everything and just have Windows on everything. It should be two separate type of systems. Maybe a similar core like Apple does, but it really should be two different types of systems. RT, when it came out, was very... The Surface RT, when it came out, it was very limited. So that's one of the reasons why it wasn't so popular and kind of failed. But the Surface Pro, which doesn't have the limitations of RT, has been doing better. And it's, again, it's just because they were late to the party that they're not doing so well. That's the only reason.
I understand that, but the problem is Microsoft has a tendency to put out a mediocre product before it's ready, i.e. Windows 8. They could have polished...
Windows 8 was done. It's just people didn't like the features. Like, for example, the start menu was a huge, huge thing that people didn't... was like, where's my start menu? Well, you hit start and you'll get this big old screen. And I'm like, where's the start menu? And it's things like that happen. I mean, there's a lot of things. I'm definitely not going to put Microsoft down. It's just because they haven't gotten a wow product. It's not that they don't have a good product. It's they don't have anything that really wowed people. Or it's because they were already wowed by all these other things. It just kind of... they kind of didn't give that boost, that again, wow. What they needed was a wow factor, and they've got a really good system. It just didn't wow anything.
So, Gary, Eric, what about you guys? See anything that really excited you for the next year or so?
Oh, bro. Not really.
Okay.
I was sort of interested in the new Galaxy Pro line that they've put out.
Uh-huh.
They're putting out new Note, as you mentioned earlier, a new tab. They're going to have new encryption security and the rest to make sure that they're better suited for business, because I can tell you as an IT tech, finding tablets that are actually business ready, really not been happening yet.
Huh.
iPhones are not good on enterprise solutions and don't work well with EAPs. They don't work well with CRMs. Even the Microsoft tablets, we've got some Surface RTs and some Surface Pros. None of them have played well with our stuff yet.
Wow.
So I'm not saying Samsung will do any better, but I'm hopeful. And, of course, any competition spurs new growth. So,
right.
from a professional standpoint, I'm hopeful there. But, you know, I listened to the Verge coverage. They had a great set of podcasts covering everything day and night. And they pretty much covered it when they said their device of the year this year is the same device of the year they had last year, which was the Oculus Rift.
Huh.
Bingo. Which is the 3D gaming headset. They've improved it this year and added some gyroscopes for motion control of the head and the rest.
Right.
But, oh, and the girl who worked on the Verge podcast really liked the Bluetooth toothbrush. She apparently was very concerned she's not brushing well enough.
Oh, God. Okay.
Was that Sarah Lane? I think that was Sarah Lane.
I think so.
Sarah Lane was on the Verge podcast?
Yeah.
Because I remember hearing about that podcast, you know, and reading one of the articles that was linked to in the doc about that Bluetooth toothbrush.
It's love not that a good product.
Well, we've got Bluetooth products for everything else, egg timers and, you know, whatnot. And it's like, why not have a toothbrush? I mean, please.
$100 for a toothbrush that tells you that you need that you're not brushing correctly?
Wow.
Yeah, you've got a dentist who'll tell you that for free.
No, he won't.
He'll tell you. You absolutely still have to pay him.
He'll tell you for the same amount of money for a once a year visit. Come on.
Wow.
And he'll brush your teeth.
That was one of two products that annoyed the shit out of me. I found out at CES. I was like, okay, so we now – and okay, it has a practical application, but part of it bugs me because I'm like – because a parent came up with the idea because they weren't sure that they could trust that their kids were actually brushing their teeth.
Nice.
Well, how about you get your ass in the bathroom and watch them brush their teeth?
Oh, yeah. No, this reminds me, from the other side, there's a Bluetooth fork to keep people from eating too much.
Wow. Oh,
that dumb thing.
She talked about that too. And it's this teeny tiny child-sized fork that you're supposed to pull out in restaurants of the rest too. It's got sensors to sense whether you're eating fibrous foods like vegetables or fatty foods.
What?
And it vibrates when you have too much, or you should slow down, apparently. Some bullshit like that.
You know, this year has been considered to be the Internet of Things year, where a lot of things get connected to the Internet in some way, shape, or form. So this is the beginning of the wearable computing as well as these ridiculous items and then like televisions and stoves and stuff.
But that's been a big trend for the last couple of years is wearable tech that you can take with you that works seamlessly with your already purchase devices, where you know you have a smartwatch or you have a Fitbit or you have the Nike Fuel Band, and it all works together seamlessly in this kind of personal web. And that's become an even bigger thing with the Bluetooth toothbrush and the Bluetooth fork and, you know, things that we have on our bodies that we use constantly that work seamlessly with the tech we already have. And that's just going to get bigger because people want tech that they don't have to worry about. It just sort of exists in their world. You know, you look at your smartwatch and it's a watch, but you get a message and you look at your watch and you're like, oh, hey, I can return that call. We're eventually going to get to the point where our watches or some small device on our bodies does everything we need it to do versus pulling out a phone every single time. I don't think phones are going to get any smaller. I think the smartphone form factor is here to stay, and we're going to eventually get to a point where we have smart devices on our body that tell us what we want to know versus pulling out the phone every 5 minutes and going, oh, did he call back? Did he text? Oh, did she give me an email? Okay. You so.
Are fat. Here's a, let me tell you why you're fat. Here you go.
Yeah. Well, and we won't get to that point, but we'll get to the point where our devices are telling us our biometrics without us even having to deal with some other type of screen app. It'll have either a screen on it or it'll give us an auditory cue or something like that. So I think that's a big trend coming up in this next year. But anyway, so David, did you see anything that caught your attention?
Well, it was
good or bad?
One of the things I thought was really nice and was the sugar printer.
Yes.
I saw that and I just was like, wow. That just, and the if those are the pictures of stuff that they've made with the printable, with the sugar printer, that just is awesome.
What was that? 2 days after CES, Hershey's announced that they're developing an at-home chocolate printer.
Oh, yeah. But by the way, they somebody commented that the products that were printed from that sugar printer tasted kind of nasty.
Well, I'm sure
it's pure sugar. Yeah,
I'm sure it's in its, you know,
infancy,
as it were, as regards to things. So it's going to probably take a little while. Yeah, to complete the Chef Jet is what it's called. The first restaurant approved food printer. The device uses water to melt sugar into shapes as complicated as the mind can imagine.
Yeah. Wow.
I like the idea, but I really like the idea of what you can do with it. And granted, it's probably going to be a new niche for restaurants and stuff like that to kind of add to things and another sort of gimmick for them to use. But I really just the idea of what you can do with it is amazing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary, I think I'm so sorry. I think I actually cut you off.
It's okay. On the ranting part of things, another product that really bothered me was the UV sensing wristband.
Oh, that.
See, I like that.
Okay. So we'll discuss this. So here's my thing. I don't like the form factor. I think it looks clunky and dumb as hell. I'm like, so I want to wear a big fucking topaz on my wrist, like on a black leather wristband. Like that kind of bothered me. And then I was like, okay, so the whole point is to let you know what your UV exposure is, which is practical. I admit, like, conceptually, it makes sense. However, if you're that concerned about your UV, like, exposure, perhaps you should be applying something automatically and not being overly concerned. Or if you're going to maybe use it because you want to tan and you don't want to get overexposed, then putting something around your wrist is kind of dumb because you'll end up with a tan line. Did they not think about that?
Got a point there. Well, it could also be, you could also say that you put it next to you or something like that. And then to carry it around, you just kind of have it on your wrist when you're not tanning.
I have no problem with the UV sensing wristband.
Well, see,
I do. It's a monotasker. Well, it's a unitasker. There's that much more that you can do with it. I don't think it's worth having.
Speaking of not worth having.
Okay.
No, it's you, Jeff. There was a truck driving by your apartment. And we can hear it.
Nothing's happening right now.
Oh. It sounded like somebody was having a truck drive through their house. Oh, we lost Eric.
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
So, no, I mean, I should have said, I like the tech idea behind the wristband. I'm not necessarily a fan of their fashion statement because it's a little ugly. I did see, you know, if they, because I know somebody came up with a concept here a few years ago where it was a patch that you put on your skin. And it was a UV sensor like that. But I think sort of like a Nicorette patch, you know, clear, see-through, monitors how much UV exposure you have, communicates that to a wearable device or, you know, an in-pocket device. And then you can go from there. That would be, if they got it down to a patch, that would actually be a little more, or a slimmer wristband, you know, something more along the lines of a Fitbit versus, you know, having this big old piece of ugly ass jewelry on your wrist. Eric, you were explaining.
I was just saying, speaking of completely unclear, what about these huge curved televisions that they're trying to sell us now?
Oh, I saw that.
I believe Jeff has much to say about that.
No, I don't have that much. I just don't understand it.
Me either.
I'd rather have a flat television. Because one of the things about television is I don't necessarily stay on one place. I will go to my kitchen and be cooking and be watching TV as well. And the flat picture, yeah, I know I'm not going to get the best picture from every angle, but I can easily see the picture on the television screen and everything. If it's curved, some of that picture might end up getting blocked as I move around, or it doesn't look so good. But this whole, I think the reason was something like a depth perception or something while watching TV. Yeah, depth of field. It doesn't make any sense. Now, I could kind of see this if this was curved enough that it would be something that, like, you needed to little space, or where you know, putting it into a quarter works a little bit better or something like that. But I really don't get that. I don't think that this is something that's needed or people are looking for. Yeah, I really want a curved television. And I would think also with the curved television, some of the picture, because, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the picture itself is flat. You would actually have to actually film specifically for a curved television, right, to really make the picture look good, I would think. I could be completely and utterly wrong. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like, okay, I can see curved screens in certain situations. For example, wearable computing, curved screen for like a wristband that you know, if it tells you who's calling on your phone and is connected by Bluetooth, and it just kind of scrolls through there, or a text message or something like that's useful. I can understand screens like that, but this doesn't. Televisions doesn't make sense for me.
Huh.
So apparently the concept of a curved television set is it's supposed to give more lifelike picture quality with more depth, which I'm like, okay, that's fine, I guess. Like, I kind of agree, like, the concept is a little strange to me. Although apparently Samsung and I think LG both have versions that can either sit flat or curved. So it's not that you have to buy a curved television, but it has the capability to kind of move.
Right.
Huh.
Which I find interesting, and I'm like, okay, well, that might help a little bit in the effort of, and this is going to sound wrong, when you stick your TV in the corner of the room, maybe, like, it's not perfectly going to fit back into the corner, but I guess curving it might make a little difference. I don't know. I'm more concerned about, like, them showing up at, like, Best Buy and wherever, and people being like, ooh, ah, I have to have it. I'm going to be like, why?
Yeah.
For me,
the obvious things that you're going to have to ask is, right now you can place a television in your room to optimize the viewing angle for a group of people and to minimize things like glare on the TV and the rest. With a curve, there's going to be no way of optimizing for things like glare. And, okay, these are monster televisions. We're talking about televisions that are approaching, what, 6, 8, 7 feet in some cases?
God.
77 and 85, I think, are the sizes.
I saw a 110-inch one.
50 yeah. inches to a huge 110 inches. That's just some bullshit right there.
So, I mean, first off, who owns these orbital satellites where you're going to be able to view these things to start with?
Exactly.
Okay, now, Jeff and I were talking about this before the show, and I said to him, and this is my belief, that while these are might be proof of concepts, where, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, that's a really great idea, where the actual idea that they put out and say, oh, well, you know, we're going to bring this to market in sometime in the future, but there's no pricing, there's no ship date, that kind of stuff. These are just proof of concept. And unless I'm wrong about the curved TV, is there actual, like, shipping and pricing available?
Yes. Oh, CES wow. actually sells shows for these things. They were putting those out for sale this year.
Wow. Well, see, but the thing is that I do honestly think that it's not necessarily the item's going to come to market. I think what it is that the tech that's inside that is actually going to be used in other products. Like, you know, we were talking about the curved cell phone. You know, certain pieces that, you know, this tech is going to be used in because it's so different and so wild. Not many people are going to run right out and pick up a $5,000 curved TV just for the hell of it.
True. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that tech will then go into other products and it'll be used for different things. Whereas, you know, you don't necessarily need a, you know, 105-inch screen on your wall that curves slightly at the ends. Although the one I did see was actually quite bent.
Yeah.
It was almost a half circle. That kind of surprised me at how much it curved. And, you know, the viewing angle on that thing must be atrocious. You must have to sit dead center.
It would make sense. I do not see the point of a curved TV. I just don't. I mean, unless it's your TV and you live alone or with one person and you're kind of
really enjoying masturbating, seeing the whole body curved around you.
Exactly. Well,
that's just it. You're surrounded by porn. I mean, obviously, that's the point.
It's like
a huge gaping vagina and or asshole that will suck your head in. Yes.
But
it'd be a really cool computer monitor.
Maybe.
You know, you could have like four or five different windows open. I can understand, you know, doing something like Photoshop or video editing and that kind of stuff on them because you're surrounded by the work. But yeah, exactly. I don't want to see someone's asshole stretched to be 6 inches open, either on a flat screen or a curved screen.
Well, in addition to that, like there's another thing that really kind of surprised me is and this is, I don't follow tech as much. So to me, CES is always the, oh, that's interesting. Like conceptual ideas that they come out with or things that I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that existed. For example, Netflix revealed that now they're going to do ultra high definition, what's also known as 4K video streaming, but it requires a 4K TV, to which I was like, well, first of all, I didn't even know what the fuck 4K was. And then second of all, I didn't even know that there was such a thing as these kind of TVs. I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, it's like 1080p a few years ago, you know, and they're all coming out. But the thing is in order to transport that bandwidth, you need fiber. How many people in this country actually get fiber?
Right.
None. You know? That's why these are coming from Sobi and Toshiba and other Japanese and Asian countries.
Right, who have the infrastructure for fiber. Americans don't have that. You know, what is it? Less than 1% of American internet users have fiber connections. So it's not going to be a big seller here. But yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely some things I thought were interesting as far as tech goes. I mean, like Sony's head-mounted display. You guys mentioned Oculus. I mean, some of those things I'm kind of like, wow, like that's kind of cool. But then it also freaks me out a little bit because I'm like, I'm not claustrophobic, but the thought of just like putting on this device that is basically headphones and a visual display, I mean, it really, I don't know, it really takes away reality. And I understand that's the concept. Like it's supposed to immerse you in, I guess, the game that you're playing or the movie that you're watching. But I'm kind of like, yeah, but then you don't know what the hell's going on around you at all. You know, and
no, I get that. Yeah. The
entire time. That would be epic.
But so okay, little wrap up. We're seeing more wearable tech, more personal tech. Good. Stupid personal tech, UV sunband. Bad.
Are you getting enough?
Pebble still watch. Bad.
The heat sensing iPhone add on I thought was interesting, but like really cost prohibitive.
What is the point of that? Why do you need to know that?
Well, you're in the bar, Damon, and you're talking to a guy, you casually just go down towards the groin and see if a little heat's coming up. That's worth $350, right?
All right, hold
on. One hookup totally makes it worth it.
So to answer Damon's practical applications, despite seeing if there's like a boner in motion or something, it can help you identify leaky insulation or moisture. You could also use it for spotting wildlife. Interestingly, they say for a fun application, you could use it for a high-tech hide-and-seek.
Oh, God.
which I'm not quite sure about, or of course, everyone's favorite crazy party pictures. But for $350, I'm like, to buy an add-on that wraps around your iPhone that gives you a special camera that does this thing, I'm like, I don't know. But
oh, yeah. You know there's going to be some teenager that's going to convince his parents to buy it for him.
Let me interject here quickly, too. At my work, I've actually supported a project with the Fleur. Fleur is the company that made this infrared software.
Mm-hmm.
I've dealt with their products pretty extensively at work, and the amount of math you need to do things like find the leaks, you've got so much geography and so much stuff, it's never going to be a consumer-level thing. You basically have to be an engineer to use their stuff efficiently for any around the house or actual technical stuff.
Yeah.
It looks cool, but it is not something that you could put to practical application very easily.
Best invention.
I see the formula, and it's like 3/4 of a page long to get the formula to determine the temperature of something off of the cameras.
Wow. That's not practical. Best thing you can do is if you're concerned about, you know, heat patches or cold patches in your home, get a laser thermometer. Seriously. Go through your house, point it at the cold patches, see how cold it is. There you find no insulation. So, and I learned that from Mike Holmes. Because no fancy gadgets in Mike's, although he has the fancy gadgets, but he just takes a laser thermometer and points it and can tell you exactly how cold something is, how cold or how hot. So, but anyway.
And it doesn't hurt that Mike Holmes is good looking.
Oh, God, yes.
Another item from CES that kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of a duh, and it actually surprises me. I don't know if you guys saw the one about that Ryan Seacrest apparently has an issue with the iPhone, and it's the fact that it doesn't have a keyboard. So apparently he worked with a developer and created something called the Typo, which is another accessory wraparound. And it gives you a keyboard that you can actually use kind of like BlackBerry style, although apparently the company is getting sued for patent infringement from BlackBerry, which I think is kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, it is exactly the BlackBerry keyboard style. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
It is, funny. Yeah.
Spec for spec.
So, yeah. I mean, it's just little things like that. I'm like, oh, well, that kind of makes sense. Like one thing I like the idea of, and to me is a duh, like how many years did it take us to figure this out? Corning came out with antimicrobial Gorilla Glass. Yeah, I can say that fast. So it's bacteria resistant, like concept that, you know, or proof that you could put it into smartphones and things. And I'm like, well, how often do we see everyone's like, you got to clean your phone, it's nasty, you know, and these like 2020 reveals or whatever. But to me, it's kind of a duh, because I'm like, well, like if we know this is a problem, why didn't we just like fix it and okay. be done with it?
Little thing to know about glass, it's already antimicrobial. Things don't live on glass because of the simple fact that there's nowhere for it to get a purchase. What people are not doing is that they're not cleaning around the glass, and they're not cleaning in the cracks and crevices of their devices, and that's where germs and dirt breed. Glass in of itself is antimicrobial. To me, it doesn't make any sense to make antimicrobial glass because it's already antimicrobial. So, sorry. That was one of my, what? Huh? Okay.
That's kind of like the gluten-free broccoli I saw today.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, that kind of stuff cracks me up when you're like, there was never gluten in it to begin with. So obviously it's gluten free. Yeah, no, I agree with Damon. I thought that the sugar printer was like one of the like, wow, that's pretty awesome. Just because it looks cool. Yes, I have to admit, maybe the sugar doesn't taste good, or it just tastes like plain sugar because that's what it's made from. But the fact that you can print something that's edible, I think is a big deal. And again, it's proof of concept. Now you can do it. And yes, home people who have lots of money to spend with nothing better to do, or chefs and restaurants could possibly do stuff. But
the guy who does modernist cuisine, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's big potential behind that. But, you know, so those were some of the things, you know, that I was kind of like, oh, that's pretty interesting. I was happy to see the part about that CES had a pinball maker that was there, because it's something that comes from at least my childhood past. And really has had an unfortunate turn of things. In fact, I think I watched a documentary last year about pinballs and how they came into their heyday and then they all kind of died off. And there's only really about one company left that's making them.
Right.
Which the thing that I thought was uber cool, if you guys happen to watch the tested.com video that I linked, they came up with a new Star Trek version one, which was in the background that they were playing. So, of course, you know, it has the sounds and that kind of stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. Oh, and something you guys didn't mention, maybe nobody really cares, is that the Valve Steam controller.
Yes.
I was really thrown off by this because I was like, wait, I thought they were a software manufacturer. Like, getting into hardware is throwing me for a little bit. But I don't really game much, so...
Yeah, Steam, Valve is not happy with Windows. Windows put out their own marketplace, and they feel it's a competition with them. So they're now deciding to build their own hardware, and the prices on those machines were crazy. They went upwards of $2,500 for what is basically, you know, a Windows machine.
Well, look at the manufacturers that they've gotten for this. They've got Alienware and iBuyPower. I mean, these are gaming machines, but they're specifically computers. I mean, they're just putting them in a different type of box.
Well, but that's what most consoles are, is that they're specialized computers.
Right, mm-hmm. But they're also a lot cheaper than any of these boxes.
True.
Well, some of them are getting down to like $399 and $599. They're very expensive. It's just because with Sony and Microsoft, they've gotten to the point of being able to figure out how to put this all into a box and be relatively inexpensive compared to like a full-fledged computer. And it only does one thing, play games, and has this, well, now they're like media center boxes, but still, it's not a full-fledged computer, but it is very powerful so that it can play these awesome games. See, yeah. Steam boxes, if the Steam boxes can get to a point where they're looking good and they're around that they're all pretty much around the price of an Xbox or a PS4, then they've got it. But right now, I think part of it is because they're using these big PC manufacturers to create the boxes. I like would be super excited for Valve to really get into essentially console gaming. But right now, their system base is, which is basically trying to get the, basically all it really is getting the PC games to the living room.
Right.
And it just the way they're doing it, it just doesn't work. Honestly, somebody could just take a computer and plug it into their TV as long as they've got HDMI.
Well, which Steam already supports.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so, Valve's, right now, Valve is on, could be on their in the living room. It's just, people just need to plug their computer into the TV. And then you've got access to Steam as long as you got access to the internet.
Well, I think what was it called? The Python or something that console that was supposed to be for PC gamers back in the early 2000s, and it just turned into nothing but vaporware.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was just I like the idea of Valve doing a set-top box or a console. I'm not so sure it's going to be practical for them in the long run, but I do like the idea of them doing it.
Yeah,
I just necessarily sure. Go ahead.
The big issues I come across with it is Steam didn't choose to build their own operating system. They have modified a Linux distribution, which means the games that will play on the Steam box currently are extremely limited. They're only Steam games that run on Linux.
Right.
Which, of the thousands of titles in the Steam library, you're going to have maybe 30, 35 titles that works with. Obviously, right. That'll change in the future, but they're going to have to go through some major overhaul to convince all these gaming companies to produce Linux versions of their games.
Right.
And I mean, if anybody can do it, Steam will be the ones who can do it. But I just don't see it happening in the next couple of years.
And I see this as, and I don't get me wrong, I'd love to see Steam in the living room at the, and as basically as a tertiary big gaming console. Notice I didn't say quadrillion, because or whatever it is, because Nintendo is way, way behind in the gaming genre now.
Right.
They come up with these unique things for the systems, but most gamers aren't really going to go for that. And a lot of people who do get it, like a Wii or a Wii U, they enjoy the novelty for like a couple weeks, but they don't continue.
Right. And a lot of the industry people are saying Nintendo should just do what Sega did and get completely out of the console business and just develop titles. And
I think that Nintendo really just needs to get back into the roots of the big gamings.
You're right.
Because like the GameCube and the N64, and even the previous ones, the Super Nintendo and the NES and themselves, they were great, but they weren't looking at the novelty items, the motion control and such like that.
Right.
They were about making a system which has great games, and they were upping, you know, they had the 8-bit Nintendo, then they upgraded to the 16-bit Super NES and the 32-bit. Did they go 32-bit GameCube. Or did they go? Did they?
No.
Because the N64 was before
N64. The N64, yeah. And then.
So they skipped 32, GameCube. Went directly to 64, and the GameCube upped that up too. So they were grading, you know, authentic things. And then they come out with the Wii. And that now it's starting to be lackluster. What they need to do is get back into that major console thing. And, you know, I would love to see a brand new system which has Metroid at an amazing graphics and goes back to more of a standard controller.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, even that's one of the problems with like the game, the N64 and the GameCube, was that they started playing around with controllers. I mean, when you look at what's the difference between a PlayStation controller and a Xbox controller? The symbols on the controllers, you know, the PlayStation just has the square X thing and stuff like that.
Well, the PlayStation controller's got a lot of other little things, but it's got a touchscreen. It's got the gyroscope. The gyroscope's been in place for 8 years now.
Yeah,
it's got
and those things are fine. But still, when you think about it, it's still a standard controller. You've got the directional pads and the joysticks, and you've got the button on the left and the buttons on the right for the actions. I mean, it's the standard concept of a gaming controller. It just has these other features underneath, but it's always that same idea.
Form factor.
And form factor. And for all intents and purposes, the Wiimote is still that. It's just, you know, just a long bar. And I mean, there were plenty of games where you paid where you just had the had the directional pad on the left side and you press the buttons on the right side. There were plenty of games for the Wii that just did that instead of having you wave it around the Wiimote and such like that. So there's still some of those things, but if Nintendo just got back to its roots and not going into this bigger thing and trying to get into the novelties instead of, you know, getting back to the hardcore gamer, because I really think that Nintendo could make a great powerful machine that can easily, you know, run circles around Sony and Microsoft that we just need to get to that right place.
Yeah.
All right, so that's CES. So let's continue moving on here. Where were we? We are at
here.
Apparently, I have the long one for some reason. In any case, stubble for you, Robert. What do you got for us?
I'm calling this iPhone Tartan because the guy actually does look like he has a tartan tattoo on his arm. But found it on Guides with iPhones and was like, oh, yes, thank you. Okay. Yeah, so there's that.
Just pull the underwear all the way down. Just why tease us, though?
Why? Oh, I don't. But no, seriously, it looks like he has a tartan tattooed on his forearm.
I think maybe.
Maybe it might be. Who knows?
Who knows?
But yeah, that was my pick. Gary.
Sorry.
Gary?
Trying to decipher all the tattoos. actually, someone that I know. And I just came across his Tumblr account recently, so I was pretty stoked about that. He lives in New York. He is an absolute baby doll, and he's gorgeous. What else is there to say? So it's called Because Some of My Followers Want to Know What I Look Like. And this is part two. I can't remember if I like part two or part one better. I just remember this one. So, but yeah, he's a younger guy. And I met him several years ago at a social up in New York and get together anniversary party, actually. And so I just wanted to kind of give him a shout out, a little hey, by promoting his pictures. So he's a very nice guy. He's rather
fond of sticking his tongue out.
I was about to say that.
Well,
not to say there's anything wrong with that.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I you know, more tongue plays, but you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways. Damon.
Mine is aptly titled The Redhead, and it is, I've seen this guy off and on my Tumblr, and he popped up again, so I was like, oh, let's take a look, and yeah. Gary approves.
I love the taste of ginger.
And he's
oh yes, yeah, yes, yes. Yes,
he's a very handsome man, and these are actually really good shots of him. I'm not a particular fan of the flip up hair that he has, but you know, whatever, I won't really care.
I'm enjoying the tramp stamp with the USDA ground beef or prime beef logo.
I enjoyed that very much as well.
yeah. Well, you guys can have
them. Oh,
this.
I'll investigate.
Yeah. Going on into the leaks.
Alrighty.
Okay. So I think this is the right link. I'm calling this one the Scottish Oculus. We've been talking about tech, and I remembered on my Facebook page I had posted this video I had seen of this guy who was playing the PS3 game Mirror's Edge using an Oculus. And the Oculus with the built-in gyroscope for looking around. And it is the trippiest thing in the world to watch. Not only because he's wearing an Oculus, but also because he's Scottish and he's cursing so much. He is swearing up a blue streak. And I thought it was fun. And I really want an Oculus now. Just because, not because I'd actually play it more than once or twice without being ill violently, but I just sort of want one just because it's cool. So yes, watch the Scottish guy swear profusely about having an Oculus. So that's my link, Gary. Well,
and it's Mirror's Edge that he's playing, which
it's
can
a
be
first
that
person
trippy.
Game. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's probably something.
I mean, especially when he has to jump off of buildings, he just starts, oh god, he starts swearing, and it's so funny. Because he's like, I'm afraid of heights, and he's just sails right off of a building. Anyway, so Gary, what you're going to talk about one of my favorite TV shows.
So, well, this is an oldie but a goodie, and I happened to cross it. I think it's one of those weird things. I think YouTube ended up recommending it to me, which I'd already seen it before, but I had to go back and watch it again. So back when West Wing was on, there was part of an episode in which a group of people who were scientists proposed that the world map that was being used should be officially changed. And so the clip is called "Why Are We Changing Maps?" And it makes me laugh because their whole point is that the guy who created the map that is still used to this day, actually, many years
after. The Mercator projection, right.
Many years after this show actually aired, that it's very biased and it misconstrues actual size and all this different kind of stuff. It's really kind of funny. My favorite part of the entire end of the clip is when they say that they propose a new orientation and they show it to her and CJ's like, well, what is that? And they're like, oh, well, it's correctly oriented or whatever. What they did was they flipped it upside down. And so south is top and north is bottom, which is very confusing. And it's funny because she's like, and she said something like, no, I don't, something about no, or that can't happen, or that can't be. And one of the scientists says, why? And she says, because it's freaking me out.
I love Elsa Jetty.
Oh, I do too. But it's like the best delivery. But it's, anyways, it makes me giggle. It's a fun little thing to watch that she, and it's funny because I forget the actor, the character's name that's with her. I think it's Josh, sits next to her. He wants to sit in on this whole like mapping thing. And then I love the part where they both lean in because there's this conversation about how big, like, I think it's Iceland is versus Africa and different countries.
Right.
And then CJ has another great line. She's like, but where's France? Anyways, it's funny. That's my pick. It was a cute little thing that I thought of this week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yay.
West Wing had a lot of those great like little moments where the characters just kind of went, I know nothing. And that I remember that episode. That's actually called they called this episode, they said Leo's Big Block of Cheese Day, based on a historical event in the White House history. But the thing is that they invite these people to come in, pitch their crazy ideas to the White House, see what's, you know, what can stick. And like the Wolf Highway, I think was part of one of those episodes. But yeah, no, that was, yeah, I'm a bit of a map geek. So, you know, the Mercator projection, which is the standard map projection that you see in all textbooks, is actually quite wrong. It is based on a bunch of old data used back up and through the 50s, 40s and 50s, and it's not truly representative of actual square miles of actual physical real estate in the world. Like the fact that you look at a Mercator projection and you don't understand that Alaska, Texas can fit inside of Alaska. You know, you think Africa and South America are about the same size. That, you know, the United States is proportionally about the same size as Russia. And when in truth is, none of that's true. And when, I know. I remember seeing them when they flipped up the map. I kind of went, what the fuck? And so I feel Alice and Jenny's pain. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so. Yeah, if you guys haven't had a chance to watch The West Wing, buy it on DVD. Do yourself a favor. Stream it on Netflix. It's probably streaming somewhere. So,
yeah, I think it's still on Netflix.
Yeah, yep. Probably. Hey, did anybody else have any links?
No.
Nope. Like that's it. That's the end of the show. There's plenty of ways to contact us. Pop over to our website, click to a post, and you can comment right there on the blog. You can also shoot us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/cubsoutloud, Twitter, twitter.com/cubsoutloud, Google Plus at google.com/plus Comes Out Loud. Please pop over to Bear Underground, join the COL group, and say hello. Write anything you want in there. You can have a conversation. Maybe not have anything to do with the show. We'll just use it as fodder for the show in any case. Pop over to iTunes, rate us, and leave a review. Sure, we love the ratings. Everything's great on that. But I would like to hear what you think of the show. Also, if you're listening to us on Stitcher Radio, give us a thumbs up. We'd appreciate that very much. You can find me anywhere on the internet as Box Tap Box, Puppy Box, Cub Box, something or other.
Nice. I am Theater Cub 79 on Bear 401, Bear on the Ground, and the Tumblr.
And you can find me as Gamer Bear on Bigger City or as Eric Patton on Google Plus.
I can be found as GearBear73, pretty much most places that I talk about here on the show, including Tumblr, which, by the way, I just hit 1,000 likes.
Yay!
So apparently I like a lot of porn. Anyways.
I hit 5,000 posts.
Oh, God.
Robert?
What? You people, I swear to God. You're on Tumblr far too much. Okay, you can find me as Robbie Bobby or pretty much anywhere or as Confused Reviews on Tumblr.
And that's the show. So I'm going to say, say goodnight, everybody!
Goodnight.
Have a good one.